Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Monday, the 5th of November, recording at 9:21 Greenwich Mean Time. Now, first, the highlights. Stock markets, the recent nervousness continued here today with a tone set by Asia at the outset, where most stock markets were down on the day, although none really heavily, other than the Hang Seng Index, which is down 5%. And the European stock markets showed modest gains. The biggest one that I see on my screen in percentage terms was the UK FTSE 100, which is down just over 1%. Wall Street was quite soft at one stage, then recovered all of the declines before easing again towards the close, closing in about the middle of its range on the day, slightly better than the middle of its range. For the Dow, for instance, down 51. Long-dated government bonds were slightly steadier in Europe and slightly easier in the U.S. The dollar was marginally steady in here today, but despite that, the precious metals shrugged off some earlier declines to close with modest gains on the day. Gold is, as I speak, is currently down 50 cents in here at 806.50, but importantly, that's bullion holding above the 800 dollar level. Platinum was up a little bit and touched its former high, but didn't quite break to a new high. And silver pushed up as high as 1506 before moving just a little below that $15 level on the March contract now. And the industrial metals were a bit easier on the day, except for tin. And soft commodities were mixed with wheat, coffee, and looks like soybeans up a little bit. Some of the others drifted. Okay, so what's going on here overall? Well, as far as global stock markets are concerned, I think the big story, of course, is the meltdown that we're seeing in the Western banks, and particularly in the U.S. banks. And that continued in here today with Citigroup leading the way on news of the sacking of Chuck Prince and talk of a write-down of between 8 and 11 billion. Well, that's enough to frighten the stock for another day. And the bank indices all closed down on the day, although off their lows. So that's really the main story here right now. And you know, I'm of the view that what's bad for the banks is bad for the rest of the market as well. So that's remains a worry. We do see reactions underway in all of these Western stock market indices, and also in most of the Asian indices. But there, with the Asian indices, it looks like a little bit of consolidation and perhaps a bit of mean reversion in terms of the 200-day moving averages that you can easily see or best see on the weekly candlestick charts. With the European indices and with the U.S. indices, these really remain very much in overall ranging patterns, and we've seen some tests here of lateral trading, which, if that were to be eroded on a closing basis, would cause a little bit more deterioration. I'm thinking of 1500 on the S&P 500 index as one example, and around the 6400, I think it is, on the UK index. Let me just put that up on the screen so that I can make sure that I'm, yes, the 6400, say it closed, 6400, it closed up off that level. 6,400 on the FTSE 100 index, but there's a little bit of lateral trading there, and close below that level would be eroding some of the underlying support from previous reaction lows. So when it's all said and done, we have this continued underperformance of the Western indices, with banks costing a pall over these markets, and we have the overextended Asian markets in a reaction and consolidation phase here. And while banks, Western banks and Japanese banks, are under the cosh, we certainly can't rule out some additional risk to the downside. The interesting thing in the U.S. action here today was that markets did get some late support in the day and really retraced almost all those losses. Not on any news change, but it's no secret that the U.S. has been throwing an enormous amount of money here into the system, trying to reliquify the system, and inevitably that is going to have some effect in terms of cushioning downside risk, not only for the stock market, but also probably the stock market. And the U.S. administration and the Fed would be very happy to do that. So my view is that they'll take any risk in the short term here in terms of providing excess liquidity. They'll take any inflation risk to prevent both the housing market, which has already deteriorated, and the stock market from deteriorating substantially, because to have both of those markets in setbacks would really be a heavy blow for the U.S. economy. But as I've said before, we have a two-tier U.S. economy, whereas the domestic economy really is in moribund condition. And the multinational part of the economy, with the exception of the banks, is not doing at all badly, thanks to the weakness of the U.S. dollar and the strength of the global economy overall. And I think that's likely to be a theme that runs for a while now. But in this environment, it would pay to be a little bit cautious, needless to say. And I'd like to see some upward dynamics on these financial shares to give a firmer tone to markets generally. But until that occurs, assume that we still have some additional risks to the downside. Now, the precious metals remain in exceptionally good form here overall. It's quite impressive to see them actually extend gains after the very strong moves that we saw on Friday. And gold, for instance, is appreciating really against all the currencies, as you can see in the library with a look at those charts. I think gold appears against at least 28 different currencies in the library. Now, in terms of trading these, I personally am trying to do it with as little risk as possible while leveraging up on the moves on the upside. But of course, I get shaken out of some of my positions from time to time because I'm not willing to allow too much downside to occur. But again, I increased positions here today, adding a little bit of gold and a little bit of platinum, and I wished I'd added a little bit of silver. I thought about it, and then the next thing I knew, it was rallying really quite sharply once again. But this is certainly a very in-form sector, these precious metals. A number of analysts are saying, well, they're overbought on the charts, and they're worried about commitment of traders, figures, and so on. Well, we've heard that for a number of weeks now, yet these markets have really ranged steadily higher in here overall. There are some very dramatically bullish forecasts that are being bandied around the markets. That's usually a sign that people are getting a little bit carried away in the short term. But again, we waited a long time. We waited over a year for this breakout to occur in the precious metals. It has always been Owens and my theme that once we completed that medium-term consolidation in the precious metals, that we would see some very significant moves on the upside. But it's not without risk, and particularly in this environment when people are quite nervous. We see a fair amount of volatility. We had the VIX index creeping up in here again today. I think it's around 24 and a half. And this, therefore, in the commodity trades, I would certainly want to operate on a policy of start small, build up if it's trending in your favor behind trailing stops. That's the strategy I've used all along, and I favored money control discipline over maximizing profit potential. Maximizing profit potential also maximizes risk potential. It would just be leverage up and hope that the trends continue to push in your favor. I'm not willing to do this at certainly at this stage of the cycle, if at any time. So I'm playing it fairly conservatively. But nevertheless, I'm represented in all four precious metals. And I do look to add to these positions, provided I can continue to do it behind the trailing stops. Enough said on that. Looking at the grain and bean sector, I'm going to have a look at corn once again. The USDA is coming out with a crop report on Friday, and I know that some of the insiders who follow this market quite closely feel that they may well be actually downgrading yields on the latest crops. I have no additional insight to that. I have no first-hand knowledge of that, but as I have heard talk of this from a few of the insiders. So I may have a small position. I may add a small position, a long position in corn over the next couple of days. And what else to mention in here? In currencies, the dollar is up a little bit. That's only 94 ticks on the dollar index, taking it up to 76.43. That's coming off the lows that we saw again on Friday. And the euro dipped down to 144.62. My feeling here really is that the only thing that can prop the dollar up a little bit would be periodic bouts of short covering, but this trend is definitely still downwards. I think everybody recognizes that the US needs a weaker dollar, which would help the exports and decrease imports somewhat, so that would help the current account deficit a little bit. And I think pretty well everybody realizes that a number of creditor governments are no longer willing to just allow those dollars pile up indefinitely, and they're less willing to recycle those back into US treasuries or other US investments. Now, that's a well-known story, as I say, but that doesn't mean that it's actually over. So I can't really see the dollar doing much other than getting the occasional technical rally in here, which has been pretty well the pattern that we've seen over the last year and a bit. And in terms of the big trend, it's been down for a considerably longer period than that. Crude oil here today, a little bit of profit taking, and crude currently trading down $1.31 at 94.62. Natural gas also down back under the $8 level here. So some additional profit taking there. And I think that's pretty much it. So all the best to all of you. No doubt we'll have a little bit more excitement here tomorrow. All the best.